With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You start the NFL season, then take like a 3-week break, sort of. Or not really, for the LCS and the World Series. Brenneman gets to work with Aikman for a while. How many years are we doing this, Joe?
Well, let's see. I mean, I've pretty much done that part of it every year that I've done the baseball, which when I've been on the main football crew, which started in, I guess, 2001.
Wow.
That's kind of how it's always been. But now with the Thursday games, that's added a different wrinkle. Which last year there were no days that were conflicted with baseball and football on the same day on a Thursday, but this year there is. So I'm leaving here tomorrow night after the game, if there is a game, there could be weather, and going to Denver and then trying to get back for game five if it's here at Yankee Stadium on Friday, or game six if it's, you know, if it's everything is scheduled in Houston on Saturday.
Who could keep track? It's unbelievable. Last year, I think you did MLB on Tuesday and Wednesday, the NFL Thursday, and then MLB Friday and Saturday. Did you do NFL on Sunday last year?
I did not. I never have done NFL on Sundays during these.
Gotcha.
And our group only does the Sunday late game now if Fox has it. So that's a change. So this week, they're doing the Bears and the Saints, which kills me because I don't like missing trips to Chicago, but I am missing a trip to Chicago.
Oh, my God. And does Troy get Brenneman again? Is that what he
does?
So,
yes.
So do you miss Troy, and does Troy miss you? Like, while he's getting some strange with Thom, like, I hope that Troy's fire will still burn. What's that?
I've never thought of it that way. Yeah, he's actually cheating on me.
Yes,
somehow.
Yes.
We FaceTime during the game. So, you know, if I'm doing a baseball game or getting ready for one on a Sunday, you know, I want to make sure to feel like I'm there. So, and we'll write letters, long-winded letters on hotel stationery to each other. And yeah, no, we don't even speak. Until I show up in the booth at the next game.
Yeah, I mean, but he's going to get used to Brenneman's rhythms, and it's sensual what you guys do.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. There's a lot of that going on, but I don't really like talking about it on the radio.
I know you once did a football game in the afternoon and an MLB playoff game at night, or more than once did you do that. San Francisco, I think?
That was in San Francisco. The New York football Giants against the 49ers, and then went over and did the Cardinals at the San Francisco baseball Giants that night.
Wow.
But the highlight of that day was the first time I spoke to a woman who was at the football game for NFL Network, and that woman eventually became my wife.
Wow.
So it was kind of a triple header, and it just went downhill after the coffee line before the football game early in the afternoon.
The coffee line is where it happened, or you had
a
pickup
line?
Was,
you know, no. It was basically a stalking. You know, a nice stalking, nothing creepy or anything. But we have a coffee little Keurig coffee machine in our booth. I saw her in the coffee line, and I said to Troy, I was like, "Hey, she's in the coffee line now. I'm going to miraculously need to go get a cup of coffee." So I went into the bathroom and I gently placed my hair, what's remaining of it, in all the right places, and made sure everything was tucked in. And I looked as thin as possible. And I walked into the coffee line and just brought about some of the greatest pickup material I had ever created in my mind.
Wow. That's beautiful. So you look back on that day, and the highlight is instead the coffee line, and now you guys have twins. You have short human beings.
There's more to that story, because really the low light was the trip from then Candlestick Park to then AT&T Park, because they thought it would be cool if I did it on a trolley, because it was San Francisco, and we had a police escort. The police escort was no help at all, and we were in a trolley that was going about 8 miles an hour, and it was we were rapidly approaching the first pitch, and I'm talking to the driver. I said, "Is this as fast as this thing goes?" He's like, "No, it can get up to 55 miles an hour." I said, "Well, let's go." And he hit it, and I got there, and I ran into the booth, and I flung the door open, and I crushed who was it that was there? Somebody was there that I wasn't even aware of to do the game in case I didn't show up. Darren Sutton. He was in the corner of the booth with a coat and tie on and his scorebook. McCarver was wide-eyed in front of the camera. I come busting into the booth. I look over to my left. There's Darren Sutton, like, wah, wah. You don't get to do the playoff game. And I look at Tim's. He's like, "Where the hell have you been? And please, let's figure out what we're about to talk about on national TV in our stand-up."
Oh, that's phenomenal. See, Darren Sutton there. It's like these guys just circling your orbit, Joe Buck. Like this Joe Davis kid, look, I'm sure he's a nice guy, but he is the embodiment of the people that will eventually take all of our jobs. He's young, he's handsome, he's smooth as hell. He's much too capable for my liking. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's well said. I agree. You know, I've kind of championed him to Fox, and now that he's getting awfully close, I'm going to have to, like, you know, work the back channels to get him evicted out of this whole thing.
Seriously, I hope Smoltz doesn't like him, you know?
No, he does. That's the thing that kind of, I'm like, how was it with Joe? And I you know, if I'm not there for like the division series, I'm doing football. And he's like, "Oh, it was great." I'm like, "Oh, God." Yeah.
Well, you and Smoltz are really good together. And with Verducci and Rosenthal, this is our World Series crew for whichever of these teams gets the Washington Nationals, who are just absolutely on fire. You get Gerrit Cole at Yankee Stadium today. How's this matchup living up for you? The Yankees Astros again. Two absolute juggernauts. It's been entertaining stuff.
Yeah, it's the best matchup. This is as good as baseball can be, I think, in this series. I think it points out, you know, two teams. Obviously, they got a lot of money, so you have to throw that out there. But I think, you know, certainly in the case of the Astros, they've scouted really well. And then they've added, you know, they've added through trades, they've added through free agency. The trade they made to get Verlander paid off immediately. They won it all that year in 2017. And then, you know, they made that deal to get Gerrit Cole, and he's been unbeatable since May. So it's truly remarkable what he's done. And then the Yankees, they're a fun team to watch, and they're scrappy, and they had 30 different players go on the injured list, and it was a major league record, and yet they won 103 games. So, you know, they both dealt with their fair share of issues during the course of the year, but these are the two best teams, and I'm excited to watch Gerrit Cole try to navigate this Yankee lineup, and he'll be doing it with not only a 100-mile-an-hour fastball, but shadows that are going to creep toward home plate, because it is absolutely ideal weather-wise here today.
Oh, wow. So there's a little teaser, folks, when you tune into the game later on after I'm off the air, and that's the only reason I tell you to tune in, is that some Lee Smith kind of like Rich Gossage Wrigley shadows for the afternoon tilt, huh, Joe?
That's right. I haven't seen many seagulls like flying around or pigeons or any of those looking for old popcorn or hot dog buns, but yeah, it's that time of day. And you know, we've talked to the players already, talked to the two managers, and AJ Hinch, you know, he said it best, you know, you get to the end of the game and we've got a pitcher that's still throwing 98, 99 miles an hour. It's really hard to take him out of the game. It's like, who do you go to? And he said, that's not an indictment on my bullpen. He said that would hold true for really any team. So he's that good. And he's that big of a difference maker, and he has a chance today to swing this ALCS in the favor of the Astros. So, you know, there's a lot on the line here.
Yeah, and Gerrit Cole in a contract year doing that. Anthony Rendon in a contract year in the other series. Good timing, man. Good timing.
Yeah, tends to work out that way. It's like the postseason that, I guess it was 04, that Carlos Beltran had with Houston, and then the next thing you know, he's a billionaire with the Mets.
I thought of you this week, Joe, and not for the usual reasons that I often think of you. I thought of you.
Good.
Because David Freese retired, and last time we were together on a Sunday morning on Hit and Run, we played your call, and we'll see you tomorrow night, as well as your father's call for Kirby Puckett. But yours for David Freese and your dad's for Kirby Puckett, and it was special. So I decided I want to do a wacky radio bit with you, okay?
Okay.
The buck stops there. Is my idea. I know it's clever. I know. You see what I did.
Yeah, that's good.
Thanks. Because you've been on site and on the call for some of the greatest baseball or football moments of the past couple decades. And you ever make a personal list, by the way? I mean, your list must be outrageous of stuff.
No, I have a massive, well, I have a massive head, but I have a massive ego. And I think that's even next level. No, I don't sit around making a list.
I've found something even beyond the ego of Joe Buck. That's impressive.
Yeah, I what an ass. Yeah, hold on a second. Let me get this out of my pocket here. It's in my nightstand next to my bed. My alarm clock doesn't play a radio. It just applauds.
Right. Your wife's like, can you change some diapers? Hold on, honey. I'm updating the list.
The list. I'll be right in. Yeah. Give me an hour.
All right. Well, I thought of this one because Bernie Williams was telling me about it, that when Luis Gonzalez hit the game winner against Mariano Rivera to win the 2001 World Series, Bernie said that play lingers for him more than any of his triumphs. He said, it was right in front of me. I had to go pick it up, and I hadn't thought about that. So I went back to watch the video, and you can see Bernie's like the last guy to run off. You know, he's the last guy to run off the field as the Diamondbacks are celebrating. But let's listen to it for a second, because I had forgotten what preceded the play.
The chance of a lifetime for Luis Gonzalez. 2-2, bottom of the ninth, game 7 of the World Series. Bases loaded, infield in, one out.
The one problem is Rivera throws inside the left-handers. The left-handers get a lot of broken bad hits in the shallow outfield, the shallow part of the outfield. That's the danger in bringing the infield in with a guy like Rivera on the mound.
Floater, center field, the Diamondbacks are world champions.
I mean, come on. Tim McCarver with that's unbelievable, and I had forgotten that he called it to that level and that degree.
Yeah, it is, and I've said this without prompting when people have asked me, you know, what are some of your most favorite moments in the booth? That's right at the top of the list, because I don't think any analyst has ever looked forward and made a statement on something and have it come true on the very next play or the very next pitch or the very next whatever. I thought it was remarkable, and you want to get in the middle of all that crowd noise and go, Tim, you called it. That's exactly what happened. But you just, you know, I gave him a thumbs up and like gave him a high five, like, wow, that was awesome. And it was. I can't think of an example of that that I've heard, at least, of somebody predicting with that much on the line. I mean, it happens from time to time, but not like that.
No, with that specificity, too. I mean, last night Ron Darling said Adam Eaton's a first pitch guy, and he swung at the first pitch and got a single up the middle. But this is to win the World Series, and he called exactly what the hit was.
Yeah. And did it with a guy at the plate facing somebody who was literally automatic. You know, we had done so many moments where Rivera just shut it down. When he came out of that bullpen, it was over. And that time it wasn't. And that was an incredible postseason, just because of, you know, they're playing it on the big scoreboard here right now at Yankee Stadium. It's just amazing with 9/11 it happened and you know, all the emotion and being in New York and the first pitch by President Bush and then kind of the back and forth of that series. It's just remarkable.
I as always, Joe, I get texts like these. Please tell Joe Buck that Sox fans love him for his call 14 years ago, and they're quoting the call. So I get texts like that. And then I also get texts like this. His calls on the White Sox World Series were terrible. He sounded disappointed that the White Sox won.
Well, I was, because I was a huge Astros fan back then. I was so depressed. It took me months to get over that.
I
was like, oh, my God, my Astros lost.
Yeah, right. That's understandable. Guy who grew up in St. Louis, but you were a big Cesar Cedeno guy, which nobody
knew.
Yeah,
exactly. Well, he ended his career in St. Louis. But the funny thing is about that, and the obvious thing is, you know, when you listen to, especially White Sox, my God, I can't think of a broadcaster that, you know, if that was my team, you're listening to that television broadcast and Hawk doing his thing, you know,
right.
They are unabashed Sox fans, and with good reason. You know, they win, they get a ring, they get a paycheck from the organization or from the network that carries them, and we don't do the game like that. So when we show up and we get excited for the other team, everybody's like, well, what the hell, he hates my ball club. And that's just never the case. So that was one where, you know, that was such a dominant postseason by that White Sox team that it really wasn't even a contest. So, yeah, no, I wasn't rooting for either side. Never have, never will.
Oh, man, that Astros tattoo that you have, though, it's a good look.
Well, it was unfortunate, but I've been able to turn it into some huge dragon on my back.
Well done. And then I got this tweet. I used to love to hate Joe Buck. Now I hate that I didn't love Joe Buck. So there
well,
you
that's
go.
Well, first of all, was that Wordsworth now tweeting? How do you even come up with this? It's like the most amazing sentence I've ever heard.
I don't know. I don't know if Wordsworth is on Twitter. Yeah, I think Keats is. I think Keats is on Twitter. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But
And I'm an English major at Indiana, and I can't really tell you anything Keats wrote. So that's.
No.
An indictment on IU.
No, I got nothing on Keats either, except the name. That was enough for me. All right, Joe, go do a ball game. Thanks, man. Appreciate you very much.
Of course. Anytime for you. You're the one and only.
Oh, God. Don't. You're sweet like that. Have a good ball game, and I hope Joe Davis is not so good with Smoltz, and I hope Brenneman fumbles a lot with Troy.
These booths have, you know, they're locks on the doors. They need to know that.
It's understandable. By the way, I saw they zoomed out at the Cowboys game the other day, and I saw Nance and Romo's booth. That's enormous. That's unbelievable. There's like nine guys in there. Do you have booth envy, or do you get to use the same booth when you're there?
No, we get the same booth. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, stupid question. Glad I ended on a dumb note.
No, that's we get the same booth, but I don't know that was it at Dallas or was it the game at the Jets?
Boy, that's a good question. You'd think I would have known.
Was it 2 days ago?
Yeah, it's 2 days ago.
Yeah, that was at the Jets. But the beauty is, in Dallas, we have a sushi tray that'll just knock your socks off because it's Troy. I mean, he and Irvin and Smith built that place for him.
Wow, so that's why you're there that much. Not because
it's all about the sushi.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with rating.
Yeah, that makes all the sense in the world now.
All
right, Joe. Thank you, sir.
Hey,
yeah.
You go get them, all right? You make me proud.
I'll do
all
that.
Right,
all right, I'll do that over the next 32 minutes. You got it.
All right, see you.
Thanks, Joe. That's Joe Buck of Fox Sports.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.